Hello, you're listening to Shoes on a Wire. I'm Madeline Taylor. This is a podcast extra for episode 7. Today, I have an interview with local Vancouver band Club Sofa. They're brand new on the scene, four young women who got together at jazz school at Capilano University and have since put together an alt-rock punk-inspired band, but you can see and taste the jazz flavor all throughout what they do in their live sets. I first saw them perform at a fundraiser show for Music Waste Festival that happened at the beginning of June here in Vancouver, and they absolutely blew me away. These four young women took the stage. They were very unassuming, even a little bit nervous, but as soon as they started playing, it was clear that not only that they had huge potential, but that they really knew what they were doing. It's not often that you get to see people who are classically trained and learning theory about music play in a punk setting, so it caught everyone off guard and the audience was really into it. I could say the same for their Music Waste show that happened just at the beginning of June. And I got the chance to speak with them right before the show they played at Toast Collective on the Music Waste weekend. We sat down and chatted in a little intersection between Fraser and Kingsway on a park, so you'll hear lots of background noise of cars going back and forth, but hopefully, just like I did, you'll be charmed by their enthusiasm and their self-confidence. This is Club Sofa.
I'm Jasmine, I play bass, I'm 22.
I'm Jess, I play drums, and I'm 18.
I'm Dom, I play guitar, and I'm 18.
I'm Peyton, I'm the vocalist and a guitarist, and I'm 20.
Okay, so how long have you been a band?
3 months? Yeah, 3 months-ish? Yeah.
3.5 months. And by my count, based on looking at your social media pages, you've played five shows, is that about right?
Yeah. Somewhere in there, yeah.
Okay. Tell me about your first show.
Our first show, we subbed in for another local band, Skoom Laude, at a show in Port Coquitlam, which was a bit of a trek, and that was put on by the guitarist of Wind Up Birds, Sam Willett, and it was kind of trying to get their scene off the ground, and it was really fun.
Where was it? I saw a little video of you, and it kind of looked like a classroom or something, or a community center.
I believe it was just a Macmillan Arts Center. Yeah. Is that what you said?
Macmillan Arts Center, yeah. Okay.
And so who's from where again? Just one more time.
I'm from Poco. Okay. I'm from Richmond, but I live in North End.
Okay. I'm from Haida Gwaii originally, and then I lived on Vancouver Island.
And I'm from Lethbridge, Alberta, but I moved to North End.
Okay, so have any of you been in bands before?
I was in a band, in a metal band, actually, when I was 13, 14, and I played guitar, and I covered a lot of Black Sabbath and Metallica, and yeah, we just kind of started out with a couple of my buddies with the long hair, and they were just like, you want to be in a metal band? You can sing, and I'm like, all right, I like metal, sure.
I played in a few, jazz combos and stuff in my high school, and then played in my dad had a few friends that also played music, so playing in bars a bit, not an official band, but stuff like that, but just mainly jazz stuff, I think.
My background's also in jazz. This was actually my first endeavor playing rock music. I played in various jazz combos throughout high school, and I don't know if this is, but me, Peyton, and Dominique are all in jazz school right now at Capilano, which is how we all ended up in North End.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about you?
I've never really been in a real band. I started playing bass to be in this band 3 months ago, so it's been working out pretty nice, I guess.
That's so awesome. Yeah, from what I could tell, there wasn't a lot like written or recorded about you guys online anywhere. So just listening to you, it was cool to hear. It was cool to hear the way you play together as a group because it was clearly so jazz influenced. Like I kind of could hear that a little bit, especially in your solos on your recordings. But hearing you live, it was just like, holy shit. Like they know what they're doing. I was standing in the crowd at the Toast and texting my friend Eleanor, who organizes Music Waste, the whole time. We're just like, we are dead. Like these people are so good. So like, what? Yeah, especially when you played Feels Blind by Bikini Kill, it was just like too much. So I'm like, I want to know like how do you marry those influences? Because if you're coming from a jazz background in terms of your training, and then you play like Riot Grrrl and like Iggy Pop covers, like where does that all come from?
Well, if I personally think, like, I'm personally like really into the kind of punk scene, like the Descendents and Bikini Kill and all that kind of stuff. So I personally, like, I thought I was like, oh, we're gonna do a punk band thing, and then I realized, okay, like we have a lot of jazz influence here. Yeah. So I mean, like, we can totally merge, like a lot of our songs are about like just like girl power and stuff. I'm like, we could totally merge this like awesome punk scene with this kind of jazz influence, because a lot of the time jazz is kind of a boys club. So I feel like the fact that we can merge like this kind of punk Riot Grrrl Bikini Kill kind of image with this jazz thing is like kind of like a specialty that we kind of have. I think we're pretty good at it. Yeah,
like in many ways just like the grown-up pop punk princess. Yeah, and me and her work pretty closely on most of the songs, like writing like chord progressions and stuff, and we're trying to write songs that like are really applicable to like the kind of like indie rock scene, but we're still using a lot of like jazz chords and like a lot of jazz theory in the stuff that we're writing, but it still sounds really like alt-rocky.
Yeah, for sure. And there's something about like playing jazz, right, where it's like you just really connected and communicating a lot with each other playing, so like it's a really important thing that like if like we mess up or something, we keep going and we don't stop, and like it's part of the performance, and like we interact a lot, I think, musically, so it's a pretty big thing. And like taking solos, you know, not a lot of people take solos like ever. So it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the biggest part for me.
Well, and the other thing is that, like, most of the solos I've heard going to local shows, I'm like, this is so boring. But, like, you guys, it was actually, like, added so much to the song that it was really, it was good. Did you have anything you wanted to add on that last question?
Well, I don't go to jazz school.
That's okay.
But they're teaching me a lot of, like, theory and stuff, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
And I like seeing Dom solo because she's fucking sick.
Did you play anything before you started playing bass, or this was like the first time you ever picked up an instrument?
I played drums in high school, but I wasn't that good. But but yeah, I like bass a lot better so far. Yeah.
Sweet. So were you guys friends before you started a band, or was it just like you met in jazz school, or both?
Well, I met Peyton and Dom in jazz school, but like we all pretty like there aren't that many girls in our year. Like as far as female instrumentalists goes, there's only 3 girls. But Peyton's a vocal major. There's a few of those, but we like all the girls pretty much stick together in our program. And Jasmine is like a close friend of my boyfriend's, and we met, and she's just obviously sick. So basically, what happened with the band is like one day Jasmine's like, "Oh, I want to play bass," and I'm like, "Well, let's start a band," and then called Peyton up, and then suddenly we were jamming and getting gigs, and things went pretty quickly that way.
Yeah.
I noticed on your Insta page that you describe yourselves as a little girl band from Vancouver, and I've talked to a couple other bands that were like either mostly women or like made up of all women, and they like hate being referred to in that kind of a way. And so I'm wondering, like, what's your take on that moniker and like labeling yourselves that way?
I personally like kind of thought of this question because, like, you know, sometimes I get guys asking me, well, why do you call yourself a girl punk rock band, or why do you call yourself a girl band? I'm like, I don't see anything fucking wrong with that personally. Like, I'm just like, because that's what we are. You know, like, in a scene that's so dominated by you know, male bands, which isn't a bad thing because there's some kick-ass all-male bands out there. I'm just saying is, like, when we come up on stage and there's men like, do you need help? Do you want me to help you with your amp? I'm like, no. No, I don't need help with my amp. And, you know, it's just like being an all... I think it's an important distinction to make. We're an all-female punk rock band because it is rare. And we want to be known as such because there's nothing wrong with being a little girl band from Vancouver. There really isn't, so...
Also, like, we need to, like, show people that, like, just because, like, we're a girl band, like, it doesn't mean that we're bad at our instruments or anything. And it's, like, it's trying to, like... embrace, like, cut the stigma of, like, girl bands trying to be like, yeah, we're just like the dudes. Like, we need to get to a place where, like, girl bands can be in touch with their femininity and be like just normal people that are in bands, because there's still that thing where, like, if you see a girl band go up, you're kind of like, oh, let's see how this is, you know, because, like, nobody assumes that we, like, know our shit, but we do, you know.
So who writes the lyrics, or is it a collaboration?
I write the lyrics.
What's cool for me about
She's Too Cool For Me? Oh, man. I kind of, like, dedicated it to kind of some Bikini Kill stuff, personally. But I remember, like, a lot of the time when I was a teenager in high school, there was, like, a lot of, like, the high school, older high school girls. When I would go to, like, high school parties, I'm like, man, that girl is so cool. I love that girl, but she's too cool for me. I can't even talk to this girl because she's just out of my league. So pretty much.
Sweet. Also, couch surfing. Love the chorus. Reminded me of, like, getting up to some shenanigans going to parties when I was younger. Is that about anyone specific, or it's just, like, you know, general hooking up with folks?
No, actually, it's about my boyfriend Clement. The first night that we met at, like, a little party, and then, like, some of the lyrics is, yeah, like, we went to a friend's house and then we kind of took it from there. Hooked up at the right away. Won't go into details, but
that's awesome. It seemed kind of like, it seemed the line, like, I love the way you haven't hurt me yet, it's pretty defiant. And it's sort of like you're having fun and you're just, like, doing your thing, but you're also, like, aware of how those dynamics often go. Like, so how did you feel at the time you were writing that? Where did that come from?
Personally, like, that line really wasn't in reference to me. I feel like it was more referred to as for Clements, because he personally he never really had a serious relationship before, and he was terrified the first time we got into the relationship, and he's always like, oh man, this is gonna end and it's gonna hurt so bad. But, like, recently we've been working on that and he's doing a little better. He's over kind of the thing, is like, it's not destined to end. I'm not destined to, like, destroy him, so I think he's okay now. But that was kind of referring to him when we first kind of got into this relationship thing. Yeah.
Do any of the other of you do you write any words, or is it like you're in charge of writing the chord progressions and the melodies and that sort of thing, or is that super more collaborative?
Yes, actually helps a lot with, like, the chords and, like, rhythms and stuff of some of the songs. Like, I usually come with a lot of, like, bass ideas, like, basic, all right guys, like, I have a chord change here it is, do what you want with it. And Me and You was actually written by Jasmine, mostly by Jasmine, the bass line there. So
things are very much like a communal effort here, where, like, if I come up with a chord progression that I like, I'll send that over to Peyton and she'll write something, or if Peyton comes up with something, or if Jasmine comes up with something, they'll send it over to me and then I'll write some stuff for it, and then it all kind of, like, comes together that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is the rest of it, like, a jam, or it just sort of, like, comes out in the wash?
We all kind of work it out together.
Yeah.
We just kind of hang out and just think it through, work it out. Yeah, we write songs really fast.
How many originals do you have going right now? Because obviously I'm most familiar with the two recordings you have online, because I only saw you play the one time, but...
Like 10 or so. Like, we have at least 8 to 10.
Yeah.
At this
point. And you've only been a band for 3 months. That's great.
A lot of them are, like, we're trying to go more of, like, the jazz influence direction now. So, like, a lot of our more punk songs, we're either going to work them into a different kind of light, or just, like, maybe, like, work them out of our sets, or, like, work less, more, like, cohesive sets as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're not going to be playing, like, 10 song sets, like, anytime soon. We're more just, like, writing and improving on the songs that we already have.
Yeah. For sure. Who are you listening to right now?
Jasmine, you first.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Tennis lately. I really like the new album.
What do you like about it?
It's just so groovy. I really like the vocals and the bass. Like, it's just so simple, but it's so good. I really love it. Yeah.
Who do you listen to, like, to inform your style of playing bass?
Well, when I first started playing, my goal was to learn every single Arctic Monkeys song. But I kind of stopped that after a while. And I mostly just kind of learned from my brother a lot playing bass, because he plays bass in Kai Bravewood. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he teaches me a lot. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of almost on a break right now from new music, but I've been going back to a lot of, like, the jazz stuff that I've been listening to. I listen particularly to Charles Mingus a lot, because I really like kind of, like, the chaotic style of his writing, and especially the album Live at the Bohemia, because, like, the recording of Jump Monk specifically on that record is, like, incredible, and, like, the amount of improvisation along with, like, planned things is just, like, so good. And, like, Mingus is such, like, a crazy bass player, and, like, it's goals, really goals.
Do you ever try to incorporate that level of improvisation into what you're playing live, or is it more so that you're just, like, memorizing your parts and sticking to it?
I don't think there's any, like, single song in any show that I play exactly the same way twice, and I think that's kind of, like, the jazz thing. But, like, I think we kind of go more in, like, the rock tradition and in the way that we write right now, where, like, most songs are pretty figured out. But I'd like to go more in the improvisation route in the future.
Cool. And how about you?
Right now I'm listening to a lot of, like, Brecker, like Michael Brecker, and other saxophone players like that, like Stan Getz and stuff, and transcribing some more jazz guys. But, like, I'm also kind of, the Beatles are, like, my favorite band. I always go back to them. So, like, right now I'm also, like, it's, like, a weird mix of, like, 80s, like, hard bop jazz and, like, the Beatles and, like, stuff like that. But, yeah, that's kind of all I'm listening to right now, I think.
So, I don't know what bop jazz is. What should I know about that?
Well, like, hard bop is just kind of, like, this genre of jazz that's just, like, notoriously, like, super difficult to play, like, super high intensity and really complicated theory, like gospel influence. Like, someone like John Coltrane is, like, one of the best examples of, like, hard bop or stuff like that. It's like bebop. Like, bebop was, like, the original, and then hard bop is, like, the bebop on steroids, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I've been listening to a lot of that kind of stuff. I find that really inspires my playing a lot, or inspires me to practice a lot.
What kind of, like, how do you take care of your hands? I played guitar, like, poorly for a few years when I was in high school, and my dad's a jazz guitar player too, and so I know he's old now, and so he's getting some arthritis. But, like, how do you take care of your hands when you're playing that intensely in school and in your free time?
Well, I've had issues in the past with tendonitis. I've been lucky that I haven't really had any, like, serious injuries, but I used to have, like, issues where my hands would get too sore to play for, like, a few days and stuff like that. And then I saw a physiotherapist at a place called I think it's called Westside, and I can't remember, it might be in West Van actually, and they just told me some different stretches, and I feel like I've gotten to the point where I can practice pretty rigorously as long as I stretch properly and I warm up properly, because before I'd warm up but I would do it too intensely and then ruin my hands. So, like, stretching and taking care of them, and, like, you know, if you're working, like, I use, like, Voltaire, and if it's bad and stuff like that. But, like, I find my hands are fine, and, you know, just, like, also getting, like, massaging up the tendons in your arms is really important, because they'll get really tense. But just, like, being really aware, like, I can't play if I don't warm up. I don't let myself, really. And if I do, then I'm like, that was a stupid-ass decision. So, like, just being, like, really conscious of, like, warming up a lot and knowing when you're in pain, like, there's no, like, play through the pain thing. Like, that's just, like, dumb, really.
Yeah, for sure.
So just being really, really extra about it, being, because it's better to be safe than, you know, like, have to, like, give up in 2 years or something, right?
What era of Beatles do you like the best?
Oh shit. I don't know, like, I'm kind of biased in a way because I was so obsessed with them in high school that, like, I love their movies too, and I really like Help. So Help was, like, a super nostalgic album for me, but, like, I love all their eras for, like, different reasons. Like, if I see their early stuff, I'm like, oh, they're so cute and innocent, and, like, they have these really sweet songs, and then their older stuff is just, like, musically just, like, mind-blowing. It's just, I love all of their eras for different reasons, I think.
Which album did you listen to most recently?
Most recently, it would have probably been, actually, because I have A Hard Day's Night on my phone, so just, like, you know, listening to the songs and thinking about the movie and, like, you know, how, like, it's not even, like, it's definitely not my favorite Beatles album, but it's just, it's very sweet and pure, and it reminds me of the movie, so that's the one I've been listening to the most recently.
And Peyton, how about you? What are you listening to right now?
Currently, myself, I've been kind of listening to a mix of jazz. A lot of, my boyfriend kind of introduced me to Bitches Brew by Miles Davis, so that has been a mind-blowing experience and music-changing experience. That's a great album. I've also been listening to, like, The Descendants as well, because they're coming in August, so I've been listening to, like, Milo Goes to College, so that's been a good album as well. Kind of a mix of jazz and punk. Yeah.
How'd you find out about Music Waste?
I think the first time I heard of Music Waste was from Zach Haddad, the drummer of Feng Shui and Love Supreme and the
Solitaire.
Or I think he quit Solitaire, and I think he's also in Sad Photography as well. And at the very beginning, when we were just getting off of our feet, he, like, was helping us out a little bit, because I've known him for a little while, and I think he said that we should just apply for it and see if we got in, and then we did, and it was great.
Sweet. So you're all from very different places. What are the scenes like there? Because none of you are originally from Vancouver, right? So where'd you find your people? Where'd you find the people to play music with and get going?
Jazz?
Well, in Poco, I guess our music scene in Poco is kind of based off of, at Terry Fox High School, the school I went to, there's a rock school program. And I guess a lot of the kids come out of that and, like, make bands and stuff. And, yeah, it's really good for them. I was in it for a year. I played a Cage the Elephant cover band. It was pretty fun. It was pretty bad, but whatever. It was fun. I guess that's just kind of where a lot of the people from Poco come from. At least, like, a lot of the people, like, in the Wind Up Birds and, like, all those guys, Kai Braidwood, they all come from the rock school program and Terry Fox, too. So, sweet. Yeah. There's nothing in Richmond, like, at all. I was just lucky enough to be able to form, like, a gigging jazz combo because I had a really, really good music teacher in high school, and we ended up getting in with a nice lady that helped us get a lot of gigs through BC Tourism, and we got, like, a lot of, like, event gigs, like, classy stuff, and that's pretty much the extent of, like, my gigging experience before, like, university, and then, of course, like, after university, tons of gigs, but that's pretty much it for me.
Well, where I grew up there, like, wasn't anything. Like, just, like, some people who had, like, these really weird, like, cafe bands. It was really weird. And there wasn't really
anything. From Haida-Gwaii.
Yeah. So there just wasn't really anything there for, like, kids who were, like, into art programs or anything. Just kind of sad. And then when I came to the island, I just started playing, and then I think somewhere like in grade 11 or grade 12 I started playing jazz, and that was, I had really, really good teachers who were really supportive and pushed me to, like, take solos, and that just, like, opened up, like, everything was, like, you know, kind of getting over nerves from them just, like, pushing me a little bit, not really asking if I wanted to do something, just being like, okay, you take a solo, let's go, like, no option, which was really nerve-wracking, but, you know, just really, really good music teachers.
That's so necessary, because otherwise you're like, no, I'm fine, I'll just be quiet over here, yeah.
Myself, like, I'm from Alberta, so where I'm from there's a very large, like, country scene. personally, it's a mix of, like, country and, like, death metal, which is, like, it's, like, such a mix. But, like, I went to a high school with, like, I did a lot of choir in high school, so I'm, like, actually, I'm, like, more of a classically trained singer than I am a jazz vocalist. I did a little bit of jazz in high school. I was in a jazz choir But yeah, that was mostly kind of my extent. Was I was in a band, but then I was also like doing a lot of classical stuff. I enjoy doing classical music as well. So yeah.
So you were saying you're going to release like an EP or something by the end of the summer?
Yes, that's the goal. It still won't be super high quality. We're thinking we did our two songs online with like a single mic in a room. So of course, like the vocals are really low on it. Like none of the levels are like where we'd want it to be. So we'd probably do still live recordings, but just mic everything and then just take a bunch of takes of the songs that we want to do and then try to get some good takes and some decent quality out of it.
And are there any other shows besides the one that you are playing tonight that you want to plug?
Yes. June 10th, Wax 10th. Cowboy album release. 333? What time, Jess?
I think it's at like 8. I don't know. This is a really important show for us and them because they're like, we're really, really close with that band. And also the singer and guitar player of Wax Cowboy is my boyfriend and he also goes to Cap. And the drummer of Reno, one of the other bands, also goes to Cap. And Wildfire is a bunch of third years from Cap. So it's like basically like a Cap support show. It's really awesome. We're really excited. It's their first album. It's going to be amazing.
This is Shoes on a Wire. You just heard an interview with local up-and-coming Vancouver band Club Sofa. They'll be playing a show this coming Friday, June 23rd at 333 Clark. They'll be playing with Solitaire and Kai Bravewood. For more info on Club Sofa or to keep up with their shows, you can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. I'll be back with another episode of Shoes on a Wire next Wednesday. Thanks for listening, and everyone take care.